My dad, Pastor Salem, had a desire to tell the world of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. This continues to be our purpose here at CWH. Today, Dad's message, Getting on the Inside, reminds us to put the wonderful Jesus, who we serve, first in our life.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Here we are, another week has rolled by, and we're coming into your homes, and thank you for opening your homes for us and letting us come in and worship with you. So all over the world, we're going to be worshiping the dear Lord Jesus. And I have a sermon today. I'm talking about getting on the inside with Jesus, getting close to Jesus. He had that little circle that worked with him, and we want to be in that little circle close to Jesus. So I hope it can just stay tuned for that. Before I bring that message, though, I want to read some of the letters. And we just get so many nice letters. Here's one from Benson, Arizona. And this lady writes, my own daughter does not believe in Christmas. She says, nowhere in the Bible does it say Jesus was born on December 25th. And then she goes on to say, my son died this week. He's my second son to die. I pray my boys are in heaven with Jesus. And so, oh, do we ever pray for this lady and this mother, how that must break her heart. But Jesus gives strength and help, and he'll help you through it. Now, as far as Jesus being born on December 25th, we do not know exactly when that Jesus was born. You don't believe in Christmas because we don't know the date. You got some. You don't have your marbles all in the right order, honey, because we had a neighbor. This was in 1928, and he was a neighbor to us. He was an immigrant. And he came from a country, and he didn't have a birth certificate, and he didn't know when he was born, but he was there. And to say that just because you don't know the birth date doesn't mean he doesn't exist, you better get to work on those marbles or whatever you're working with. Here is Export, Pennsylvania. I'm very grateful that I was able to see your program this morning. I am so eager to get on track and stay on track with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, looking forward to your literature. And so, yes, and the way to get along with the Lord Jesus, first of all, just read that Bible, the holy book, the Word of God. Read the New Testament. Read the Gospel of John. That's one. I love that. I love that book. And then to find a church and get into that church and help and get to work with the people. We'll get a church where they're preaching the Bible. Be sure they got the Bible and they believe the Bible is the Word of God. And if they don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, then you go to find a church that does, because you've got to reverence that Word of God. Everything depends on the Bible, what God says. Oh, look at here, Trinidad, West Indies. I watch a program on the Daystar Network with my sister. And my sister and myself, and we enjoy it tremendously. We want to support your ministry financially. Please tell us if you'd be able to accept the manager's check. And we talked to our treasurer, and he says, oh, you bet we can. And we would appreciate that. But isn't this wonderful? Because here's Trinidad, West Indies, that from Aberdeen, South Dakota, that's 3,252 miles. And we're there on television, on Daystar. On the shortwave radio, we reach 90% of the world's population. And so when you give to this ministry, and like these people are doing, you're helping to get the Word of God to the whole world. And you know about our service, we're filled with our singing and preaching is the Word of God, the Holy Word of God. Let's see one more. Boone, Iowa. Thank you for finding me on the perfect day. I am new to the Bible. I've always been looking for spiritual. I'd like guidance on how to begin knowing God. Well, I can tell you exactly how you can begin by knowing God. You can get to know God being by born again. And born again simply means that you accept Jesus Christ into your heart. And God tells us in John 5, verse 24, verily, verily, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and that is about salvation, about we have to accept Jesus. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath right there you have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go to hell, but you're passed from death unto life, eternal life in heaven. And so what you need to do is just ask Jesus to come into your heart. He says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. So you say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. And God knows that, but he wants you to confess it. I've sinned against you. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And dear Jesus, I'll make you the Lord of my life. I'll turn from my sins and I'll live for you. And thank you, Jesus. And if you make that prayer to the Lord Jesus, in your own words, you're born again. You're regenerated. You're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Jesus Christ. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of that happened in a twinkling of an eye. I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus. I remembered as though it was last night. And when I just, as I said, just a first or second grader somewhere in there, a little hope I was a little farther along, age 10, but I asked Jesus into my heart. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. So you ask him in, and there he is. And then you will write to us, and we'll send you some literature, and I'll give you the address at the close of the service. But let's look at this message we wanted to look at today, getting on the inside. And shortly before the Lord was delivered to go on the cross and die for our sins, he got some of his disciples together, and he explained to them that he gave them a wonderful truth. And he told them something that is a whole philosophy of life. Is something that will change your life. He says, I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them. John 16, verse 12. Jesus was always speaking very intimately with his disciples right here. And he walked with them for almost 3 years now. They traveled the dusty roads of Palestine all over that area. And they had seen how the people trusted him and how the people were born again. People were healed and were blessed by Jesus. And these people were everyday men. They were just everyday people. And Jesus, now he's going to teach them some lessons. And Jesus had told them confidentially and quietly and tenderly. And so many times he's talked to them. And now he's telling them about the cross, about dying on the cross. He's talking about the tomb. He's talking about 3 days and three nights in the grave, in the heart of the earth. And then he's talking about the wonderful resurrection and ascension into heaven. And he says, told his disciples, he overcame the world. I have overcome the world. That is, Jesus had not yet been crucified and raised from the dead and all that. But in his mind, it was good as done. It was going to be done. And he says, I've overcome the world. And it's as good as it is overdone. We're so glad that he is greater than the world. That means he's done. Thank God for that. With all the world, with all of its pomp and pageantry and pride and sins and sorrow and selfishness and wickedness. And Jesus is telling his disciples, don't be afraid by this world's power because it's dominated. The devil dominated. I have overcome the world. And when he talks about the world, he's not talking about the creation, about nature. He's talking about society. He's talking about the culture. He's talking about the people in the heart. And Jesus told his attentive disciples there would be problems along the way. He told them very frankly and openly the hostility of the world toward himself. And it is he pointed out the fact that something he already knew. They hated Jesus and they're going to hate his followers. And then Jesus continues, and the disciples find it difficult to comprehend. And how can these things be? And so Jesus explains them tenderly, carefully, and lovingly. And just as a dear teacher taking his little children, he's teaching them about this with this world, and the world that hates Jesus and hates all of the followers of Jesus, and this world that is so anti-God and anti-Christ. And the world has one way, culture has one way, and the Bible has another way, God's way. And they don't like God, and they refuse God, and when they had a chance, they killed Jesus Christ, who represented God and who was God on the cross. Only he just couldn't die as God. He died as a man. That's why he had a body. Then Jesus explained to them further, and he says, it's best that I leave you. I'm going to go away. But he says, if I go not, then the Comforter will not come. And so then he tells them about the Comforter, and that's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's going to hold and dwell within them. And then he's going to do a work in the world, and he's going to convict this hostile world. He's going to convict them of sin and of righteousness and judgment. And so, and this is what he talks of judgment, of sin, first of all. The Holy Spirit convicts men of many sins, but the one great damning sin of all, Jesus tells us, and that is of sin, because he believeth not on me. That's the sin. John 16, verse 9. Listen to what Jesus says in John 3. He said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. That is Jesus. He that believeth on Jesus is not condemned, but he that believeth him not is condemned already. Why? Why is he already condemned? And Jesus tells him in the 18th verse, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And the Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin. And right now, exactly while I'm preaching the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is taking the Word of God all over the world, all over the world. And he's talking to them, and he said, listen, you can't go to heaven with your sin, and you have to have Jesus to go to heaven, and you haven't received Jesus, and you rejected Jesus. You haven't opened your heart to him, and because of that, you're going to go into eternal condemnation. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing. And right now, some of you, many of you, I bet you there's multitudes, they're saying, I want Jesus. I do want to believe in him. And then he talks about, he convicts us of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. That is, Jesus now completed his wonderful work of atonement on the cross. And now he's going to be at the right hand of the throne of God. And he's going to intercede for us. But in his place, he's sending the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit indwells us. And Jesus says, when we accept Jesus, when we ask Jesus into our heart, that Holy Spirit comes and he will never, ever leave us. In the Old Testament, he came and he went. But after Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, you never hear of the Holy Spirit leaving a believer, ever. No matter what your sin might be, that Holy Spirit is there within your heart. And he's speaking to you and dealing with you and working with you. He says, and so he says, now he's talking about righteousness. And I have a righteousness. Most people have a righteousness, and it's by works. They think if they do works, then they're going to be righteous with God and they're going to be all right with God. And you can preach your head off and they just will not believe. They think their works are going to count for something. But God tells us that is not by works of righteousness which we have done. According to his mercy, he saved us. We're told that Paul says in Romans, to him that worketh not but believeth. You see, the righteousness that we have are like filthy rags. All our works are like filthy rags. And we need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you never have the righteousness of Jesus Christ until you ask him into your heart. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's working with people. He's talking with people. And turn to Jesus and call upon the name of Jesus and flee from wrath to come. Flee from hell and to go on to heaven. And I'm going to tell you something else. You're the one that decides if you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. That's all exactly your choice and nobody else's. And nobody can do it for you. You have to receive Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And so turn to Jesus and ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins. And then you turn from those sins. And God says, thou shalt do this and thou shalt not. Get some thou shalts and shalt nots. We need it. The world doesn't want it. They don't want anybody to tell them anything. And they're on their way plunging on that broad road that leads to eternal hell. Oh, my soul, we cry for them and preach our heart out. Listen, stop in your tracks. And then he talks about judgment and our judgment to come. And that is that this world is already judged, because Jesus Christ has gone to that cross. He's paid for our sins, and the world is under judgment. And that world that follows Satan and walks with Satan is going to go into a Christless eternity. But only those who have Jesus Christ. You remember what Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Nobody goes to heaven but by me, Jesus. The way to heaven is through Jesus. I love the church. I spent almost all my life preaching in the church. And the church is a custodian of the Word of God. And the church can't save you. The church tells us about Jesus. Jesus is the only way of salvation. There aren't 100 different ways. And just because you're sincere doesn't mean a thing. And so after he said all these things, now he's talking to the disciples. After he has said all of these things, then Jesus talks and he says, I'm going to go away and I'm going to tell you things, but I can't tell you all of it because you cannot bear that. That is, Jesus says, he sees how frail they are. He knows that they have faults and they're lacking. He knows that they're going to fail in many ways. But the Lord Jesus tells them in a wonderful way. He says, I love you. And he looks right at them. And then he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Remember, Jesus said that they shall put you out of the synagogues. The world is going to hate you. But he says, I can't tell you all of these things because you're not able to bear them. You're not strong enough to take that now. No, he had told them about the cross. He told them about all of these things. But he says, I still have more things that I want to share with you. And as you become stronger, then you'll say these things. You see, as Jesus reveals to us, as we're able to bear it. And sometimes people say, I can't take another thing. My heart is breaking. I can't stand anymore. But God will never give you too much. And out of that stress and out of those hardships and heartaches, you'll draw closer to Jesus and you become stronger. Maybe you become more patient. Maybe we become more genuine. Maybe we become more committed. But out of those hard things come good things, the good things that God has for us. And so then with dear Lord Jesus talks about it, and he says this wonderful thing, I'm going to trust you with some problems and trials, but I know that sometimes you can't handle them now, and so I'm just leaning on you. And so look at the people, look at Job, for instance, and look at the afflictions that he had, but he did that because he was a strong man of God and he could take those things. Look at Joseph as a young man. You young people, look at him, and here he is, and he's going to go into a foreign country, and he stands up for God, and he takes all the punishment possible, but he is because he's strong in the Lord as a young person. Look at Moses as he leads the children of Israel out in the wilderness, and they are so impossible one time, they wanted to take up stones and stone him to death, but he stood strong because he knew God and he was dedicated to God and he was committed to God and he was able to bear these things. Look at Jeremiah. He died for the Lord Jesus Christ, but for God in heaven because he preached the wonderful word of God to those people in that day. And on we could look at it. Look at Enoch. He was a man who walked so close to God that one day God said, Enoch, you don't have to die. You just come on into heaven. He didn't die. And then Elijah was the same thing. He walked with God so much that one day a chariot of fire came down and picked him up and took him into glory with the fiery horses leading the way, carrying him to heaven. Those men will never die. Some of us will never die. If we're here when the Lord comes again, we will never die. Because we're told that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, that is all the Christians, all the believers out there that have been buried, their dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. We will never die. We will bodily be taken up to be with the Lord. Maybe he'll come. Maybe he'll come before the day is over, before the sermon is over. Wouldn't you like that? And so this wonderful Lord Jesus says, but he's talking to these people, and it's always these people. He's talking to these people. They're always those that are strong, those who walk with the Lord, those who depend on him, those who trust him and lean on him. And those are those people that are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Total commitment. Look at Elisha. he's out there plowing with the oxen, and they had wooden instruments to plow with. And he's plowing, and he's coming. Elijah throws his mantle on him, and Elisha gives his whole life to the Lord. And what does he do? He takes a plow, breaks up the plow, and he kills the animals, and he makes a sacrifice. He can never go back to that way of living again, as he's cut off from it. And then the others, as they come, they burn their boats or whatever they do. They never come back. They're burning the bridges behind them. No way of ever turning back. And I read about one man, and he was a general, and he had his people. And he said, we're going to take this country. And when their ships landed, he says, burn the ships, burn every ship. And they burned them all, and they marched in to win. That's the commitment we have to have, even if it costs us our life. And when we're in that way, he will speak with us. We'll be on that inner circle, that little circle of people. You see, we have to do that. Look at Peter, James, and John. Jesus Christ is transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration and had all of these disciples, but he just took three, Peter, James, and John. Only they were on that inner circle, and they saw the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus. Or think of when they went to when Jesus went to Gethsemane, and he goes with all of them to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he chooses three to go farther into the garden and pray with him. Who did he pick? Peter, James, and John. You see, that little inner circle, they were so close that Jesus relied upon them, leaned upon them, and they walked with him and never turned back, but always stayed. And so that's what we have to do today. If you want to be on that inner circle, I know that all friends, there are multitudes of people that are following Jesus. But then when it comes to the hard times, and when it comes to really up against the commitment, they all drift away, so many drift away. And they're just there in word. And maybe in heart they are born again, but they're weak and they can't handle these things. And so they drift away. But those who really know the Lord, like old Abraham in the Old Testament, he believed God, and God says, if you will just go, if you take and go to this another country, I'll give you that country. And he believed God, and he was committed to God, and he went, and because of his heart was right, and he was called a friend of God. Or look at David, the sweet singer of Israel, king, great king of Israel, of an Israeli nation. And this, what does he do? He commits adultery and he commits murder. And so God in heaven, in the 51st Psalm, he says, cleanse me and I shall be whiter than snow. So God forgave him, but man hasn't forgiven him. They're always talking about David and his sins. But what does God say about David? He says he's a man after my own heart. And look at what he did. But what he did was incidental. But what he really was in his heart. And God knew that his whole heart with him, and he failed. But he had a heart that was right with God. And that was so he was on that inner circle. If you want to be on that inner circle, there's two things you have to do, dear friends. The first thing you have to do is you have to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. And because we are not his child, the little children will all belong to Jesus until they come to about the age of accountability. Jesus says, all of these little children are a part of my kingdom. They're already part of my kingdom. But when we come to that age of accountability, when we can decide, then we have to decide. And you have to decide, yes, I want Jesus. And you accept Jesus and believe on his name. And then commitment, commitment. And you say, I'll put Jesus Christ first. Before anything I have, before all of my goals, before any of my aims, before any of my dreams, I'm going to put Jesus first. And you can be on that special circle. And then Jesus can lean on you. And just when you get the closer you get to him, the more he'll share with you and the more he'll give you. And you can be a soldier for Christ. Now, if you've made that prayer to accept Jesus, you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember, 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And all of you dear, wonderful people on shortwave, You can't get that screen. So let me give it again. Oh, you just need to hear from you. We want to know where you're at. And if you have a question or assure us of your prayers or send a gift to help us. And it's the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then I want to say this. When you can write to us, perhaps you can send us a gift because we have to pay our bills just like anybody else. And if you want to do a miracle, you can do it over the internet. You can give an offering over the internet. We get gifts all the time from all over the world. And they get right at ChristianWorshipHour.com. Get that on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then you give whatever you're going to give in your currency. We'll get an American currency and we'll pay our bills. And another thing I want to say in the same breath, we are a member of an international organization called the Internet, and it's called Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And so you know where your giving is going to count. Now I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just praying today that you'll bless your people, all of those who accepted you. Oh, we're so thrilled over that. And Lord, we pray that you'll just help them to begin to grow in this and read their Bible. Pray for those on sick beds. So pray for those who are lonely. Pray for those who are shut-ins. And Lord, we pray for the persecuted church in Mexico now to this week. We're from Mexico. Help them to know. Maybe they're listening to us right now. And we're praying for you folks. And we're stronger because you're strong. We're strong. And you help us to live the Christian life. And so you just bless them. And Lord, we just pray for the sick. We pray for the young people. We pray for those in prisons. We just pray for all these. And we thank you, dear Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And so now you get that pencil and paper one more time, all you shortwave people, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And now next week, we're going to talk about Peter, and he walks on the water. And that's a story that I always loved as a little child, Peter walking on the water. And that's what our sermon is going to be about. Here the Christians are in the storm. Are you in a storm today? Well, we've got the answer, how to handle the storms. And it's all about Peter walking on the water, walking to Jesus. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone. You always have our prayer and you have our love and you have God's love. And today, someday we'll all be together in glory. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.